Corny Line Podcast number 2.
Hunter Moon is out, Halloween is just a few days ahead, I'm Elwood Bergman, and it's time for another Accordion Line podcast. Today's show is made possible by Arvix Web Hosting, so if you're looking for a web host, stay tuned at the end of the show, I've got a little story for you. This show is also going to contain some of the seven deadly words, for those of you familiar with George Carlin's infamous stand-up act. I'll be talking to TV's Avery, sometimes known as Christopher Cunningham. He plays the accordion, washboard, and drums in The Goddamn Gallows. As you might guess with a name like that, there will be some curse words bandied about, but nothing you'll have to look up in the Urban Dictionary. Most of the Accordion Line shows will be family-friendly and work-safe. This one, however, is not, so please exercise some discretion right now. Done exercising? Fucking A. Let's get on with the show. October is my favorite month. I'm an upstate apple knocker. The fall foliage around here is gorgeous. I love the apple cider, the cool, crisp autumn air, the haunted hay rides, and it all culminates in Halloween. Halloween is that one time in the year when you're not just allowed, we're encouraged to parade around the weirdest parts of our personalities. Judgment is suspended, and we can all enjoy the ambiguities which make us human. So, what does this have to do with the bellows-driven free-reed instruments? Well, one of the things I love about the accordion is the ambiguity of it. It is simultaneously hip and square, holy and profane. Christian missionaries and yogis have both been known to use harmoniums in their sacred services. Accordions, bandoneons, and concertinas have been regular fixtures in saloons and brothels around the world. In the United States, Lawrence Welk and Myron Florin made it a symbol of squeaky clean, white bread, middle class in the middle of the 1950s. Meanwhile, in Colombia, legends of Francisco el Hombre, depending on which story you hear, have the accordion as something he won from Satan himself, cursing El Hombre to wander around the country playing vallenato music while delivering news and messages to the lower class. So, today, I bring you a little slice of the dark side of the accordion. The goddamn gallows have been called gutterbilly, hobocore, gypsy punk, and Americana punk. They often get paired with psychobilly or hellbilly acts. I'm not sure how many people actually use any of those terms, but I think of it as music for them good old boys, if them boys were not all good. So this was the second time I got to see the gallows play in Kingston, New York. The first was years ago at an Irish pub, which is now a luxury apartment, so yeah, it's been a while. But Avery remembered me, much to my surprise. He's a very friendly guy who doesn't hesitate to invade anybody's personal space. And TV's Avery is responsible for many of the antics, which make the goddamn gallows such a fantastic act to see. He's just as ready to pull someone's teeth out with a pair of pliers, literally, I'm not making this up, as he is to throw himself shirtless at the mercy of the audience. The anchor is a clean, family-friendly, well-run bar and restaurant next to a statue of Billy Costello, the boxer, and a large scrap metal dinosaur sculpture. It's a very nice place with excellent food. But I came home soaked in booze, crusted in salt and broken glass, and happier than I've been for some time. I met Avery on the patio before they played, and here's how it went. So, Mr. TV's Avery.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm happy.
That's pretty good.
How are you?
I don't know. I'm scrambled. Dang. I've been working a lot.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. So what are you doing for Halloween?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we all agree that we're going to decide what each other's costumes are. So we'll probably draw from a hat, and then I'll pick, say, Mikey's costume, and Mikey will pick Courtney's costume, etc., etc. So it'll probably be a lot of, like, blackface and Klan outfits. And
oh, no.
Maybe just completely nude, or any way we can get someone to beat the shit out of us.
Is that something that usually happens?
Oh, yeah, all the time. People, yeah, we just got those faces that people want
to... tonight. You're going to be Michigan on Halloween, too.
Yeah, Detroit.
Those are some...
Devil's Night, thank God we're missing that, because that's the bad night.
Oh, yeah?
That's the 30th, yeah. That's where all the kids just, like, burn buildings down and shit. And...
So that still happens in Detroit?
Oh, my God, yeah. Now more than ever.
They seem to have forgotten it everywhere else.
Oh, well, it's alive and well in Detroit, so go there, get robbed.
Shit. Well, tell me about your accordion. So, like, we'll start. What is it? You can nerd out.
Oh, I'm so pleased to hear it. Actually,
oh, yeah.
I fairly recently, about a year ago, bought a new accordion because previously I've been playing like a weird off-brand Italian-made one. They're made in like two places in Italy, but they're branded different ways for different distributors. I played a Cardomi or Cardome.
Ooh.
With a Microvox mic on it, but it was just, I could never control the volume well enough. Like, if I turned up loud enough to hear myself, it was just massive feedback because we play so loud.
Yeah.
So finally I bit the bullet and bought a Roland. I can't remember exactly the model number. It's a few years old, but it's a completely electronic reedless accordion.
Everyone's doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the only way to go, man, unless you want to... Because your other alternative is to buy, like, a super nice accordion and then buy a $2,000 MIDI system.
Yeah.
So... I mean, you could do that, which you might have, you know, you might have $5,000 or $6,000 into one instrument that's really
easily
fragile because of all the, you know, the beeswax and stuff. Or you can just, you know, do what I did, and I bought this used, I think, for about $800. New, they're probably $2,000, something like that. The new models, the ones with the speakers built in,
are
I think $3,000.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's like with the smaller keyboard, the one you've got, like a...
Yeah, I think,
like
it's like a 15-inch keyboard, something like that, 72 bass, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's. I'm thinking about getting one of those.
Yeah,
myself,
well, they're super light. I mean, like when you hold like a regular accordion, you lump that around, then you lump that thing around. The only downside is you have to practice with headphones or you have to have an amp.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can't hear anything, which is really better for everyone.
Yeah. So what's it been like up until now with one on the road? Like, who does your repairs? How do you...
Oh, I'm way better at repairing accordions than I am playing them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like every night... In the early days, particularly when we were playing on the floor, playing house shows and stuff, there would just be, you know, a head colliding right into my accordion. So I would spend the next day trying to put it back together. I remember one year I got all frustrated with it and I left it in my garage over the winter. So it got super cold and all the reeds, when I picked it up, it was just like, all the reeds fell out. And I didn't have any of the special wax, so I used toilet bowl wax.
Really?
So, yeah, it was held together with toilet wax. And
did that affect the sound?
I mean, it always sounded like shit, so... No, not really. But, like, that thing... I still have it, too. It's a mess. It's held together. The bellows are almost all duct tape now, and the top strap is actually like a screen door hinge.
Wow.
And, it's a real mess. Just some leather I found for the straps with a nail through it.
I mean, that's kind of like those Cajun and Zydeco accordions. They do a lot of that stuff.
I guess when you're just, like, you know, in the... down in the bayou for 20 years and you don't see another human being. Yeah, imagine you make do.
Yeah, there's a hardware store in town at any rate.
Yeah, exactly.
So, when did you start playing?
When did I start playing the accordion?
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say because I'm not really that good. Let's just say I started a couple weeks ago.
Okay. That'll work.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
You guys doing?
An interview interrupter.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, that's okay. I don't fucking
TV's every fucking sucks.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's for a podcast.
No, I've been playing a few years. I don't play as well as I ought to with a few years practice because I don't really commit to it, but...
Okay.
It is what it is.
Have you, so what was like your first, was your first gig with an accordion with the gallows, or was it
something
you did before?
This was not my idea. Let me make that perfectly clear.
All right.
When they were like, oh, you want to join the band? We already have a drummer. You can play the washboard. I'm like, oh, okay, ho-hum, I guess I'll do that. And then I became the best washboard player in the world. They're like, ah, okay, you did that. Now you play the accordion.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, naturally. Oh, good. Of course, the natural linear progression of instrumentation is right from a washboard to an accordion.
Yeah, because one's a percussive instrument.
One's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah, totally.
One
makes
is
sense.
Just like some weird ass space instrument that never should have existed.
Well, you guys do a great show, though.
Oh,
so,
bless
I mean, that's
your heart.
Like,
yeah, I'm much more an entertainer than a musician. But.
Yeah, that one I saw was one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen.
Oh, bless
and,
you.
And, like, I'm not saying that. It's like,
okay.
So. You played with a lot of people. Have there been any of them that you were particularly excited about playing with?
Well, in terms of, like, other accordion players.
Or, no, anyone. You know, just someone you were like, damn, I get to meet this dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we played with Rancid, which is, you know, they're all, like, our punk rock heroes out in San Francisco one time. Played with Tiger Army. They were pretty big.
Yeah.
Went on tour with the Reverend Horton Heat for a while. He was a super cool dude. Played with Weed Eater a couple times, and they're phenomenal. They're awesome, sludgy metal. But in terms of, less well-known bands, I got a few favorites. The Arkhams, of course, have been one of my all-time favorites. This band called the Sawyer Family.
Yeah.
This band, the Dreadnecks, they're phenomenal. They have an incredible live show.
The Dreadnecks?
They're absolutely awesome. They're from Only in New York. I just put a little bit of accordion on their new album.
Cool.
Yeah, they're terrific, man. They haven't gone out much just because they, you know, have jobs and lives and crap like that.
Yeah.
But they are phenomenal.
Well,
I'm trying to think of someone else. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch.
All right, let's take a little break. I'm going to play some of those songs that Avery mentioned so you know what we're talking about. Now, the first one is Rancid. You've heard them. You probably already know who they are. They played this song. Destination now. This is a popular song by Tiger Army. This is my favorite Reverend Horton Heat song. It's what got me into them. The Devil's Chasing Me. No, I did not make no deal. And here's a little sample of Weed Eater. Brother, brother, you got to go. Matt Goldpaw of the Arkhams is a friend of mine from back in high school. That's how I found out about the goddamn gallows. And so here's a little sample of their music. And if you go to our YouTube channel, you'll see their show that they played the same night as the gallows were playing a little bit earlier. And this is the Sawyer Family. I went down the stairs. this is the Dreadnecks. Now, it's spelled Drednecks, all one word. Last, I want to play a little bit more of the Goddamn Gallows. This is my personal favorite song. It's called Malefactor March. A specific story, anybody like you met in particular that was kind of odd that you like that you didn't get off with right away, or that that you just were like right off the bat was cool with?
Yeah. Well, the odder the better, you know. I really get along well with people who are kind of you know, their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top, so to speak.
Yeah, that's me.
But from the Dreadnecks, like, there's this, their singer is named Grant. He used to do semi-professional wrestling. Yeah. By semi-professional, I just mean, like, hitting his friend with a barbed wire bat in their backyard. So he was a complete nut, and he was just down for any crazy idea, you know, we could come up with. So, you know, I'm like, hey, Grant, you should just run up and bust a bottle over my head when I'm playing. And we're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Of course we're going to do that. And we did that, and that went over kind of well. And then just this last Muddy Roots, it actually got us banned, I think, but we wanted to do something even bigger, so we're like, yeah, Grant, do the bottle thing. Okay, and then I'll smash a washboard over your head. Oh, then I'll light it on fire. Ooh, then just pick me up and throw me through this table that's on fire. So it just went like,
Even better.
Just escalated way too quick.
How many places have you been kicked out of?
Officially, probably 12 or 13.
You ever get back in any of them?
No.
Once,
a few places, they were like, we don't want you back here, but they, you know, not that's not official. And a few years later, they'll come around again.
Yeah.
Like this, the Beachland Ballroom. 7 years ago, I got in a big fist fight with my drummer there, and he tried to bite my fingers off. And he latched down like a bulldog, so I grabbed this pan. We were in the kitchen, and I hit him in the head a few times. And then the sound guy was all upset about it, so I threw the pan at him. And, you know, they weren't very pleased. They said we'd never play there again. We just played there last Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's close enough to never
go. Ta-da, suckers.
Yeah. They forgot quick.
Yeah, dumb idiots. That was 7 years it took, but oh well.
So is your fighting usually between band members?
Oh, my God, yeah. Almost without exception. I mean, there's been a few times when we fought someone not in the band, but yeah. I mean, we spend more time together than a married couple. You know, at least a married couple gets to leave for 8 hours a day and work or whatever.
Is it true you guys are all living in different states now or something like that when you're not touring?
Oh, we'd be dead if it was otherwise. If we lived together, yeah, we would have killed each other.
Do you think that kind of adds to your show, to your creativity? That,
hatred?
Yeah, that's sort of antagonism. Unadulterated,
yeah, malice? Yes, I think so.
Yeah, no, like actually I recently heard that that's a thing that they studied, and they found that if people in a group work together, they're not as creative because they're all worrying about what each other thinks.
Oh, really?
But if there's some antagonism, they're like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they end up doing the better thing.
Wow.
So it ends up, that's why you have all these bands that hated each other and sound great.
Well, thank God. That must be where our signature shit sound comes from.
So keep the hatred alive.
You better believe it. I'm going to go spit on their faces right now.
And, I'm trying to remember all the things. You worked with Joe Buck.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
What was Joe Buck like?
Yeah, because I saw him with the Shack Shakers once.
Yes.
And it was this crowd full of, like, you know, kind of badass motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up on stage, and everybody gave him about 15-foot open space.
Yeah.
And every time he lunged, like, the whole crowd shrank back.
Yeah, well, he looks like a demon.
Is he always like that, or is that just on stage?
Satan spawn. Oh, no. No, he has a very commanding personality. That dude has been on tour since he was 13.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that, though. I think everyone was terrified.
Oh, yeah, well, naturally, there's nothing like him. I can safely say I've never met another person like him in my entire life.
Yeah.
He has a very deep and commanding personality. And, you know, he went to law school?
No, I did not know that.
Dude, he's quite brilliant, really. He's very well read. He spurns technology, so he really doesn't know how to, like, use a phone or email or stuff like that. He's kind of a promoter's nightmare because they have no idea if he's going to show up or not.
Yeah.
But he's incredibly dedicated. I don't think he's missed a show and... not 15 years or something like that. And he's been doing the Joe Buck thing by himself ever since he left Hank 3.
Yeah.
So, man, 10 years.
Yeah. So he's kind of one of those... Is there a thing... I don't know how to find more of this. Is there a thing with, like, satanic, hillbilly, punk, whatever you call it, bands? Like, what do you look for when you're looking for that kind of... Do you consider yourself Satanist? I know you guys joke about it.
I guess if you...
I mean, does anyone
really wanted an answer? No, I'm a deist, you know? I'm not sure about the rest of the guys. They're probably atheists or agnostics, but I believe in some higher power.
Okay.
But the idea of this the disparity between the Christian Messiah, the Christ, and, you know, a Christian devil, it's...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference at all. It's silly. It's just a narrative that man has impressed upon, you know, other men, I guess.
Yeah, I try to keep this... I keep it open for everyone. My own beliefs, I put them aside and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not too...
I don't know, it's just super fun to sing about Satan, because he's, you know, like, big and scaly and muscly and badass and shit, so it's kind of...
I think that's what I like, because I grew up in a little Christian household.
Yeah.
And I always liked the songs where they sang about Satan, even though they were Christian bands I was listening to.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like a taboo thing. Like, oh, what? Ooh.
I know, you're like, oh my God, this is scary
dang
stuff.
It.
All right. Well, why do they call you TV's Avery?
Oh, I got on the TV once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Doing what? Or is that kind of a secret?
I think that's important. This interview is over.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you. Where should I send anybody if they want to go find you on the internet or wherever?
I guess just my Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or the goddamn Gallows page.
Or the goddamn Gallows. Nah, fuck those guys.
All right.
Me, it's all about me. Thank you, Elwood.
All right. Thanks. It was a pleasure. You have a good night.
We're shaking hands now.
All right. Well, that's all I could get him to sit still for, but if you don't mind, I'd like to spend a few more minutes with you. So, all that stuff about hating the people you work with, I don't want anyone to come away from this thinking that I'm saying that's the best way to go. The real goal is to get the most out of a group by avoiding conformity. And strife can make things interesting, but it can also waste a lot of time. So, if you want to communicate with everybody more effectively, I recommend the book Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. I try to get everybody to read it. It's the best $20 you could spend. If books aren't your thing, you can get all the information for free from nonviolentcommunication.com. It could fix just about any relationship, or in the case of my own marriage, I walked out with the certainty that I was making the right decision. And that says a lot. I don't want to preach here, so... how about if I try to sell you things? That's better, isn't it? Now, my family and friends are listening to this show, and I hope to make some new friends here, so I will not recommend anything unless I feel certain that it's worth every penny you would spend on it. I'm going to tell you about products and services, which I use myself. I do get some commission on this, and some of the links on the website are affiliate links, which don't cost you anything extra, but will feed my daughters and help me to keep this podcast going. So, if you don't want to use those links, that's cool. You know, maybe you want to use Amazon Smile instead. It's all good. So, that show The last show, before this one, that was also my first show. And it was a big deal for me, right? I wanted everything to be marvelous. But I had some problems with a WordPress plugin. After some bumbling, just like I'm doing now, I managed to get all of my plugins to stop working. Then, I started messing up the site, and eventually, I succeeded in destroying the entire thing on a Friday, just 2 days before the launch date. And I pay very little for web hosting, so it didn't even occur to me to call support until I spent hours trying to fix it and trying to find a solution by myself. Well, that was a mistake. I called support at Arvix, which is the web host I use, and they were very polite, easy to understand, and they had everything fixed in one phone call. Yes, so if you're looking for a low-cost web host, check out the one PC Magazine recommended to me and I recommend to you. I have not found a host that offers so much for so little and does it so well. I don't know much about building a website. I just use their free tools and WordPress to set up a beautiful website. It was easy, and they've got tools to help you with SEO and all that other stuff, and they just got too much to mention here. So please go to accordionlinepodcast.com/host. That's H-O-S-T. That's accordionlinepodcast.com/host, and check out Arvix. Thank you for joining us. Happy Halloween. I'm Elwood Bergman, and until next month, go out there and shine, shake, and laugh. God is gone, but devil is